Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. It's so good to be with you. I've missed you dearly. I've been visiting all of our campuses and thanking everyone for praying with me and my family and standing with me. I felt like that was important. And so I'm just thrilled to be at this location. Most of you know I had a death, near-death experience, and there were many things that happened that once I can share and not get emotional, I'll be sharing on those things. But one of the things that I had a conversation with the Lord over was that he assured me that I would see most of you on the other side. You know who you are. But I wanted to see you still on this side. And how many of you know we need to value our relationships on this side, because we will have relationship on the other side for eternity. Amen. Father, thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the great teacher. Thank you for life, eternal life. Thank you for our homes, our marriages, our children, our grandchildren. Thank you for wisdom in this hour as we face some challenging times. I thank you that you have not forsook our country. You have not forsook your church. You have not forsook our families. And I just thank you for a culture of life. Help me to communicate life, your kind of life, and a culture of life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I want to share on what I just prayed about, and that is a culture of life, and how that God has called us as his people to develop a culture of life, a culture of light, and a culture of love. We live in, and we're raising our children and grandchildren in, a culture of death. Death is celebrated all around us. A culture of darkness, gross darkness, and blindness to truth, and a culture of hate. And we are not to be a party to any of that kind of thing. We're to be a counterculture in the kingdom of God, because I'm not teaching American culture. I'm not teaching pop culture, and I could name a lot of other different cultures. I'm teaching kingdom culture, that if you're in the kingdom of God, we have a culture, we have a way of living that is glorifying life and glorifying light, truth, and glorifying God's kind of love. In 2016, I had an experience with the Lord that was pretty tremendous. It was unique. I hadn't had an experience quite like it. And he told me who the next president would be. And I've prayed about elections my entire life. And I got to be honest, I've never heard a direct word from God on who's going to be elected president. You just pray, you do your civil duty, and hope for the best in those cases, at least from my perspective and experience. But this time, the Lord told me who the next president would be, and it just shocked me. And I won't go into that, but he did tell me who would be the next president. And then he showed me two things. I had a vision of our streets and our cities on fire. I saw rioting. I saw, again, a culture of death. I saw a culture of darkness, gross darkness. And I saw a culture just saturated with hate. And the Lord said the third thing to me would be that he would reveal corruption. He would reveal corruption. Now, I have been processing this. Everything has happened exactly like the Lord showed me, and I knew it was for me personally, but I was faithful to share with the church what was on the horizon, and most of you weren't listening. I get it. I get that. But we're learning to pay attention, I believe, in these last days more and more of what the Spirit of God has to say about our world, about our life, and about what is to come. And so now many things are relevant to many people, and a lot of people are just absolutely overwhelmed with the tidal wave of corruption that is going on within our nation, literally within our world today. And so I've had to process all of this. And the one that I've processed the most was, why would you want to reveal corruption? Why are you telling me you're going to reveal corruption at every level? And the Lord began to show me that he's not revealing corruption so I can be critical or judgmental. He's not revealing all the corruption so I can be self-righteous and condescending and think I'm better than anyone or things of that nature. But God is revealing corruption, saints, because we're coming to a place in our country, we're coming to a place within our church, and we're coming to a place within our children and raising and rearing our children that we got to make some choices. We got to make some decisions. We've got to make some judgment calls, and we've got to have the wisdom of God. We've got to have discernment. I'm telling you, we are living in the midst of a generation that cannot discern God from the devil. They can't discern good from evil. They can't discern right from wrong. They can't discern moral from immoral, up from down, in from out. And it is a gross darkness that is coming upon the planet, and God wants us to be able to see it to make sure we're not a party to it, and to skillfully now reach out into that culture of death, reach out into that culture of darkness, reach out into that culture of hate with a culture that the Holy Spirit has developed within each and every one of us of life, and a culture of light, and a culture of love. I don't know about you, but I love life. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to be a part of a kingdom of life, and that celebrates life and enjoys life. A kingdom that celebrates light, the truth. You know, the truth is the only way people can be made free. It's the only way people can be saved. It's the only way people can be healed. It's the only way they can be blessed is with knowing the truth. And while the truth definitely will make us free, how many of you know it'll usually make you uncomfortable first? And there are a lot of things I could speak into right now that would make everybody uncomfortable. And I realize that. I'm acutely aware of the uncomfortableness of the culture we live in that is so dominated with lies that truth is foreign. Truth is an offense. Truth hurts people's feelings today because they're so emotionally driven. And so my goal is not to offend anyone, and I probably won't make it. But I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage our church and all of our locations and all of the other churches that are a part of our networks to cultivate this culture of life and celebrate life with all of our heart and enjoy life to its fullness and celebrate the truth, that we really want the truth. We might not like it. It might make us uncomfortable at times. But be a person of truth. Be a person of light. Be a person that God has called you to be, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And definitely know what God's love is all about and God's kind of love and what it looks like and how to communicate it to your children. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Let that sink in. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? The ways of death. The ways of death. Man, in his own imagination, thinks he's righteous. Man, without God, thinks he's moral. Man, without God, thinks he's just. Man, without God, thinks he understands his world and life and his way. And there is a way that seems right to him, but the end are the ways of death. And that is celebrated in our culture today. God is rejected in our culture today. The Word of God is rejected in our culture today. The things of the kingdom of God and principles of God at large are rejected in our culture. And man has a way that he thinks in his own mind is right that literally leads to death. Proverbs 16:29 says, A violent man entices his neighbor, compels his neighbor. A man of violence, a man of the way of death, a man of the way of darkness, a man of the way of hate will entice his neighbor and lead him in the way that is not good. What's going on in our country is going to lead to no good. Only God can even fix what's going on in this nation today. Only repentance and coming back to God and receiving His kind of life can turn this tidal wave of death and darkness and hate. A violent man entices his neighbor and then leads him into the way of death. So many people, because they don't know God, because they don't know the Word of God, they don't know the ways of God, they're being pulled into a wave of death. And yet God has called you, dear ones, and your families. He's called us to be a counterculture to that. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, this is the end of first creation. God created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. God created the animals. God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. And from Adam to Noah, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, that the earth was filled with corruption and full of violence. First creation ended at Noah's flood with total corruption and violence. And from Noah till now, the gospel and the Holy Spirit in a company of people on the earth has slowed down the second creation from Noah till now, from the flood till now, and it's taken thousands of years for the earth to come to the place it's coming to of corruption again and violence. Violence is a sign of the end times. Corruption is a sign of the end times. The second creation from Noah till now will end at the appearing of Jesus and his kingdom. And you and I, thank God, have by faith in Jesus come into the new creation, the kingdom of God. And while first creation ended in a flood, second creation will end at the appearing of Jesus, the new creation, and you being a part of the new creation will cause you to be in the new heaven and the new earth, where we will rule and reign forever with Jesus. With Jesus. Then we have to be teaching our children and grandchildren that we're a part of a different creation. We're a part of the new creation. And while we're in the world, we're not of it. We're in it only to have an influence in it and to make a difference at some level. But ultimately, it's all going to end in corruption and in violence. The second coming of the Lord, the Bible says, will be as the days of Noah. It will be as the days of Noah. The Bible tells us what those days were like. They were filled with corruption. You've got corruption in police departments, and the answer isn't to disassemble the police or have no police. But if you haven't realized that there's been corruption within law enforcement our entire lifetime, you've been asleep. There's corruption. There's been corruption in the FBI, and I've been standing out against that for 3 years. There's corruption in the CIA at the top. There are people and a movement to destroy from within this country. And it's not a conspiracy theory. There are people plotting to overthrow our government. And yet that corruption is not addressed. There's corruption again. And been corruption within police departments as long as there's been police departments. And the answer is to deal with the corruption, not eliminate police. We need to honor police. It's wrong for a policeman to kill a citizen. Did you hear me say that? It's evil for a policeman to kill a citizen. Did you hear me say that? Amen. People have selective hearing, selective seeing, selective memory loss. Some of you didn't select that. You just lost your mind. And they don't hear what you say. They can't hear. Their ears are stopped by demonic powers. Their eyes are blinded by demonic powers. They never hear what you say and hear and believe what you don't say. There's corrupt politicians. I'm talking corrupt, full of the devil. But we don't do away with politics and with government because of the corruption that's in politicians. How many of you know, so far, for at least a season, we're free enough to choose who we empower over us? We get to vote and we get to use ballots to make a change, not bullets to make a change. To make a change. There's corrupt preachers. I mean, corrupt to the bone. But I'm not one of them. I shouldn't have done that. Young people are going to have to Google that to figure that out. There's corruption everywhere, and the answer is the kingdom of God. The answer is the cross. The answer is the word of God. The answer is truth that's in Jesus Christ and faith in him and faith in the cross. We need to come home to God. We need to come home to God. And so while there's corruption everywhere, we can't throw in the towel. We're here for a purpose, and we're here on purpose individually, and we're here on purpose and for a purpose as a church. And it is to be a counterculture that we deal with corruption in our own personal lives. We deal with corruption in our businesses as believers and Christians. We deal with corruption that would try to come into the church. And on I could go. John chapter 10. So simple, but how come we can't apply it to what's going on in our world today? John chapter 10, King James Bible says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that steals, kills, and destroys has the fingerprints of the devil on it. I have come, says Jesus, that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. So life and celebrating life and an abundance of life has the fingerprints of God on it. Look at the New Living translation of John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Amen? Jesus has a purpose, and he has a purpose for every individual, regardless of your sexual, or here we go, I almost mixed up sex with gender and caused a meltdown all of a sudden. Man, we're messed up. We need the truth, hallelujah. Regardless of if you're a male or female, regardless if you're rich or poor, regardless if you're black or white, regardless if you're an American or a Filipino, Jesus came and died for the sins of the world, and he has promised those who have faith in him, regardless of who you were in Adam, you are now in Christ, and God doesn't will anything but a rich and abundant life for you, hallelujah, and you can have it. You can have it. You can have it regardless of what condition or corrupt situation you've been born into. Jesus saves, and Jesus heals, and Jesus prospers, and Jesus brings wholeness to our lives. Have you found Deuteronomy? I didn't tell you to go there. So you're probably not there. I apologize for that long introduction. Deuteronomy chapter 30 is where I want to start. We're going to look at life and death. We're going to look at choosing life versus choosing death. And what does it mean to choose life? Because we're going to have to choose life if we're to survive as a church. Don't think for one minute all that's going on isn't targeting God, targeting the church. And ultimately, if we don't believe God, if we don't make a loving stand for truth in this hour, we have God revealing corruption all over this country and the abuse of political power. And we see where churches are being shut down. We see where we're being told by a government that doesn't have the authority to tell us if and when we can come to church. How we're going to worship. There's things going on, saints, that are total corruption of the Constitution of the United States of America, of which you're privileged to be born in, and the Word of God, and the Word of God. The government doesn't have the authority to tell us if or when we can worship or how we can worship. They don't have that authority. God has called us to assemble together. God has called us to praise Him. The corruption involved with the coronavirus is overwhelming. It's overwhelming, and my heart breaks for the innocent. My heart breaks even for the ignorant and unlearned among us that are filled with fear. The devil is using fear to paralyze people's lives. The devil is using fear, and people are choosing fear over faith. And it's destroying their prosperity. It's destroying their careers. It's destroying their families. It's destroying marriages. It is amazing what this corruption of this virus has done. And yet most people are just walking through scared of coronavirus virus, you know, corona virus 19, I guess it is. Are we still on 19 or have we come up with a few more since I fell asleep? Computer models that have been wrong every single time. And they call it science. That's corruption. If we can't even do a computer model in real time on a disease and get it right, why would we believe a computer model that tells us in 30 years the planet's going to burn up? And yet, how many innocent young people really believe we're not going to be here 10 years from now? We're not going to be here 20 years from now because of computer models and so-called man-made global warming. Just corruption of science, corruption of everything. Politics today, everything it touches, it seems like it corrupts it. And you and I have to be aware of that and cautious and wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. That takes choices. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, look at what God says to Israel. Verse 15, see, I like that. I knew I couldn't get past one word. See, in other words, pay attention. Look, lift up your eyes. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today. In that I command you today. How did God set life before them and death before them? In commanding them. In his word to them. I have set before you life and good, death and evil. In that I command you to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, and that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go in to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, if your heart turns away so you do not hear, have you noticed people in the world can't hear? It's not that they don't want to hear. They can't hear. Why? They've turned their heart away from God. When you turn your heart away from God, the devil deafens your hearing, and you can't hear. I mean, I have sat down with people and tried to explain certain things that are so clear, and they can't hear it. Give them facts. They can't hear it. Why? Their heart has turned away from God. They're dull now and deafened in their hearing. He says, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away, notice the more they quit hearing, the further from God they get. The more we quit hearing God, the further from God we'll get. That they're drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. That's called death. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over to Jordan to go in to possess it. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. How many of you want life? You got to cling to God. How many of you want to live long? I do. I've experienced an opportunity to make a choice. I want to live long. Then I have to choose him. I have to choose life. And that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. God says, I'm calling heaven and earth to record against you this day that I'm laying before you life and good, death and evil. God doesn't choose for us life. We have to choose. God doesn't choose death. We have to choose. And God loves us so much, he says, I am laying life before you and good, death and evil. I don't mean to be picking on this side. Then God, with a multiple choice question, gives them the answer. What a good God. I got a test for you. Life and good, death and evil, and you got to choose. And then God goes, choose life.
choose A. It's A.
And they chose B. And I used to wonder, how could Israel be so slow? Then I turned the 6 o'clock news on. And I'm telling you, people are choosing death. They're choosing darkness. They're choosing to believe a lie. They're choosing hate. That is the outworking of death. Listen to me. Life is choosing to hear God's voice. Life is choosing to obey God. Life is choosing to follow God's ways, not the ways of the world. Death in the Bible isn't talking about physical death. Death is rejecting God. Death is rejecting God's ways. Death is rejecting God. Life is accepting God. Life is loving God. Death is hating God. And if you think for 1 minute what's going on in our world isn't seated in a hatred toward God, you're asleep. You need the Holy Spirit to wake you up. I mean, can you imagine me on CNN? Look, Cooper. Anderson Cooper. Look, Coop. The Bible says. His eyes would start to roll. The Bible, what? The Bible. Didn't you go to Sunday school? The B-I-B-L-E. God has taught us how to live. God has taught us how to have relationship with Him and each other. God's taught us how to treat one another. God's taught us what life is all about in choosing Him and what death is all about in rejecting Him. And yet they would have no concept of what I would be talking about. The Word of God, Coop, that'll endure forever. He would draw a blank. The Word of who? The Word of God. G-A-W-D, God. There is a God, Coop, and you ain't Him. There is a God, and the national media is not Him. There is a God, and our politicians are not Him. And we need to seek that God. We need to know that God. We need to love that God. We need to cling to that God. We need to embrace that God. And when we do that, that's called life in the Bible. When we reject Him, it's called death. Look at Genesis chapter 2, because God gave Adam the same choice, the choice of life or death. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. 1,000 yeses. Can I eat of that tree? Yes. Can I eat of that tree? Yes. How about this tree? Absolutely. Do you realize the tree, if you'll read the context and the passages before and after, the tree of life was in that garden. And he could freely eat of that tree. God said, you can freely eat of every tree that's in the garden. Only one tree do not eat of. What is it? Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall what? Surely die. Now, he didn't physically die when he ate of that tree, the forbidden tree. Notice what the tree was called. The knowledge of good and evil. Man, I could spend hours on this. Don't panic, I won't, but that used to confuse me as a teenager beyond measure. Why would God not want him to eat of the tree of the knowledge? What's so bad about the knowledge of good and evil? What's so wrong about wanting to know what's good and what's evil? What was wrong is, if you disobey me, and you eat of that tree, and you try to know good independent of me, you'll be deceived. If you try to know evil independent of me, you'll be deceived. God would have taught him good and evil, and God is teaching you and I good and evil, But we can only understand good in the light of Jesus. We can only understand evil in the light of Jesus. That's what you're witnessing today. You're looking at people in the streets that are eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're telling us what justice is, and they have no idea what justice is. They're telling us what is right, and they have no idea what God's righteousness is all about. They're telling us who to judge and who we have no intolerance for, while they talk to the church and command us to be tolerant over every deviant behavior known to man. They preach tolerance to us while they have not only a lack of tolerance for the living, they have a lack of tolerance for people that lived hundreds of years ago. And they, in their self-righteous arrogance, judge and condemn people in history that they have no knowledge of whatsoever. And all men in history are flawed. All men in the Bible are flawed, and the people in the streets are flawed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need Jesus. We need forgiven. We need to learn how to judge righteously from God's perspective, not man's or a political perspective. And it's because man has chosen to eat of that tree. I can be good without God. I can know right without God. I can know up without God and down without God. And he gets everything absolutely, absolutely backwards. Go to Matthew 22. Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he died. He didn't die physically. He lived to be 930 years old, saints. Yet God said in verse 17 that you will die in the day that you eat thereof. He died that day. Death lodged. Disobedience to God equals death. Obedience to God equals life. He disobeyed God. Death. Then darkness permeated his mind, and hate became generational in his life. His firstborn son, Cain, was corrupt and violent. Killed his brother Abel. God says if we will choose life, our children and grandchildren will be blessed. Choosing life affects my kids and my grandkids. Choosing death affects our kids and our grandkids. In Matthew chapter 22, the Sadducees are trying to set Jesus up with questions. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, in their self-righteousness, in their arrogance, constantly tried to entrap Jesus. Anytime the Sadducees or the Pharisees would ask Jesus a question, listen, they didn't want the answer. They were trying to entrap him, trying to set him up. It's called the White House press. It's the closest thing we have in the natural that we can understand what was happening 2,000 years ago. These people did not want truth. These people didn't want an answer. They were constantly trying to ensnare and entrap Jesus. And that's who and what they are today, filled with death, darkness, and hate. They reek with hate out of their hearts. Hate always, never forget this and teach your children early, hate always destroys. Love builds. People of life want to build hospitals. They want to build businesses. They want to build churches. People of hate want to burn everything down because they have no creative. They have no creative ability because death drains you of your creative abilities to bless, to uplift, to build. And so you're witnessing. Our young people are getting a chance to witness. What does a culture without God look like? This is what it looks like. So the Sadducees are setting Jesus up. They don't believe in the resurrection. And so they throw a marriage question out. Just stupid. I don't have time to get into the question. You'll have to read it. Let me just give you the answer. They ask about marriage and remarriage and the resurrection. Jesus answered them, verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels or like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Look at this. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Let that sink in for a minute. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And then he quotes three dead people. Don't you people know? God is the God of the living. Abraham. Abraham's dead. Jacob. Or Isaac. Isaac was dead. Jacob. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three dead guys. God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. How many of you know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were more alive out of their bodies than they ever were in their bodies because they had faith in God. They loved God. They clinged to God. And every one of those guys had flaws. Every one of those guys fell short. I mean, Abraham fell really short. Abraham's the father of our faith, and this guy is promised a baby and is supposed to have it with Sarah. Sarah has a faith crisis and says, I don't think I can have a baby. Here, you can have my servant Hagar. You can sleep with her and we'll have a baby through her. He should have rebuked his wife. He should have said, what's wrong with you, woman? I ain't sleeping with another woman. No, he looks at her and says, don't stay up too late. He didn't even resist. He didn't even argue. He had flaws. And you got flaws too. And the founders of our country had flaws too. And preachers have flaws too. And all of us are flawed at some level, at some place. But do we have a heart for God and for good? Do we want to build or do we want to destroy? Are we going to pursue God in our faults and in our flaws? Are we going to go the way of man that leads to the way of death? Let me give you two parallels quickly. Man, time's flying. Two quick parallels. Here's what life looks like. God says, keep my commandments. So Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, outline the Ten Commandments of God. And the Ten Commandments of God is like a synopsis of the whole law. It's like the Reader's Digest. It's the cliff notes of the Old Covenant. 10 things. And in those 10 things, 5 of them involve a vertical relationship. And 5 of them involve a horizontal relationship. And when you choose life, you have a relationship with God vertically. And out of that relationship, it changes your relationship with your fellow man horizontally. And Romans chapter 13, verse 10 says that love fulfills the law. That the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost fulfills all the law. So all the law was doing was showing in a negative way to a man not born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what love looks like. Here's what life looks like. Number one, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And yet, how have we done on that in our culture? Where it's an insult to say that there's only one true and living God. It's offensive to people to say there's only one way to the Father, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And yet love clings to the true and the living God. And we have no other gods. Number two, thou shalt not bow your knee to any graven image nor worship thereof. A culture of life never bows its knee to anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yet our young people are being pressured to bow their knee to other entities and other gods and other things. And we have to raise our children knowing that there's one God, and we are to bow our knee only to that God and worship only that God. Number three, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. Don't say God said when God didn't say. Don't misrepresent me. It's not love for the preacher to misrepresent God or say God said when God didn't say or say in the name of God this. Don't do that. That's not love for God, and it's not love for people to use the Lord God's name in vain. Number three, remember, or number four, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. If you go back and read the commandment is 6 days you work, one day you rest. If we loved God and we loved life, we wouldn't have time to be in the streets. We need to go to work. And we need to tell the government they can't tell us if, when, or how we work. Work is the image of God. Work is a commandment from God. It's not a part of white culture. It's not a part of black culture. It's not a part of American culture. It's a part of Western civilization that's rooted in Judeo-Christianity, where we got out of the Bible, God's plan for man is to work. All men. And on the seventh day, we are to rest. Listen to me, this is huge. I got to hurry. Oh my goodness. There is a healthy self-love. There's an unhealthy selfish love. There's a self-centered love that's unhealthy. But there is a healthy self-love. Do you realize Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, and all your strength. And your neighbor, the second is like unto it, and your neighbor as your... God isn't in all this self-loathing. Man, I'm saying a lot. God isn't in all this self-loathing and hatred for self. Once you hate yourself, you begin to hate other people groups. You begin to hate life itself. There's a healthy self-love, and God says, look, I want you to work hard. I want you to be focused. I want you to provide for your families. I want you to express my image because I work, you work, says God. But on the seventh day, I want you to have fun. I want you to rest. I want you to just spend time with me. I want you to rejuvenate and regenerate your brain and your body. And let's just hang out for a whole day. That's a healthy self-love, taking care of your physical body, taking care of your mind and renewing your mind. Number five, honor your father and your mother. You want to know what life is? It's called marriage. You want to know what life is? It's called a dad and a mom. You want to know what life is? It's called a husband and a wife. It's called a covenant of marriage. Honor your father and your mother. You want to know what hate is? You want to discern hate quick? Once the home is attacked, that's hate. Once the home and a husband is attacked and a father is attacked and male and female is attacked, all of that is death, darkness, and hate. God, enshrined in the Ten Commandments, says, I want everybody to have a mom and a dad. And I want you to honor your parents. In that short time I died, there's something about the other side. It's amazing. Time is different in heaven and in that realm than we understand time. God exists in time and has chosen to work within the boundaries of time, but God lives outside of time. God was before the beginning, at the beginning, and at the beginning that God was before, he was at the end. Everybody get that? When you enter that realm, everything is backwards and forwards in a different way. And one of the things God showed me, I cried for weeks after I came through my crisis. I saw by revelation why and how Urias was raised from the dead, being dead 30 minutes. I mean, I knew it was prayer. I knew it was faith. I knew it. God showed me that he kept his promise. Listen to me, I'm backing up again, but I'll come back. Ephesians chapter 6 says, honor your father and your mother. Obey your parents. And this is the first commandment. It's the first. I just read or quoted four of them to you. It's the first one that has a promise. And the promise God makes to our children, if they'll obey us, if they'll honor us. And you'll always notice a culture of death, a culture of darkness, and a culture of hate will take away fathers immediately. And they'll pull kids away from their parents, and they'll turn the kids against their parents. God says, you honor, you obey your parents. And I promise you, says God, you will live long on the earth and things will go well for you. This is why we have church. This is why we want our kids assembled together and they taught to love you, to honor you as their parents. It's not out of meanness or dictatorial authority. It's out of love for your kids. And God told me he kept his promise to Jacob and Hannah in raising Uriah from the dead. The groundwork had been laid in Jacob and Hannah's obedience to their parents. Wow. This is why we want your kids here every time the doors are open, and we're teaching them love you, obey you. That was the introduction to that. Number six, thou shalt not kill. That's not talking about killing animals and eating them. Don't email me. I'm going to kill a bunch this year. It's not talking about war. It's not talking about self-defense. It's talking about murder. It literally in the Hebrew means murder. Thou shalt not kill. Cops shall not kill citizens. Citizens shall not kill cops. And citizens shall not kill other citizens. Period. There shouldn't be no debate about that. What's the meltdown? Why can't you talk about it? Because we live in a culture of death. We live in a culture of darkness and hate. And people don't want to hear what God says. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. I'll leave that alone. Don't get up mad. I was preaching on adultery one time and a guy, bless his heart, I hope you're watching. I love you. Guy gets up mad. Screaming, hollering, running out of the church. I didn't know he had an affair. He thought I was calling him out. Nobody knew he was having an affair till he got up and walked out. So stay calm. Endure the storm, dude. Think about that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor your marriage covenant. How important is this to God? 2 out of 10 involve the family. The nuclear family. Dads, moms, kids. Hallelujah. What number am I on? Thou shalt not what? What's the debate over? I don't like Target either, but I'm not going to take their TVs. People justifying killing. People justifying stealing and looting. And burning a city down, destroying personal property. Thou shalt not bear false witness. False witness destroys other people's lives. And number 10 is God's justice to make sure none of us are self-righteous. Thou shalt not covet. That got us all. I ain't killed anybody, but I've thought about it. Let me let the rest go. Now let me give you the counterpart, death. I got to quit. I've gone over. Maybe I won't be invited back. Hallelujah. Death, what does it look like? What does the culture of death look like in the Bible? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. God says, there are 6 things I hate, yea, 7 are an abomination. Man, I used to read that and think, what's the deal? There's 6 things I hate. Yeah, 7 are an abomination to me. It's like, God, did you graduate from the public school system? Can't you count? 6 things I hate, yea, 7 are an abomination. 6 things I hate, wait a minute. 7 are an abomination. It's because 2 are closely related, but they're different. 2 are closely related, but they're different. Number 1, a proud look. Pride goes before the fall. Man without God is arrogant, prideful. And one of the key signs of a love for God is humility in our hearts and lives, which means submission to God, faith in God. Number 2, a lying tongue. Think of the lies that are told every day that we're saturated with. That's an abomination to God. Number 3, hands that shed innocent blood. I'll deal with that next week. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Number 4. Don't think for 1 minute this uprising in our country just spontaneously happened. People have been sitting around for years imagining, how can we destroy a nation? How can we bring a system to its knees? God hates that. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet be swift in the running of mischief. a false witness that speaketh lies. Six things the Lord hates, yea, seven. A false witness that speaketh lies. That's similar to two, but different. Watch. Why do we lie? Anybody besides me lied before? That's all? The rest of you just lied. Why do we lie? Why did I lie when I lied? I was protecting self. I either lied to protect self or I lied to make self look good. Listen, a false witness is different than lying because a false witness tries to destroy other people. Lying protects me. False witnessing destroys other people. And then this is huge. He that sows discord among the brethren. All right, I'll quit. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. I want you to read it and see it. Proverbs chapter 8. So we know what a culture of life looks like. It's love for God, clinging to God. Proverbs chapter 8. Uh-oh. I'm in Psalms. Life is good. Help me, Jesus. Help me get back. All right, right there it is. Oh. They're lost too. Books. Proverbs. I'll get it right this time. Proverbs chapter 8. We'll start in verse. And man, this is so awesome. I wish I had more time. Literally one of the verses we need to use for global warming and against global warming, man-made global warming, and man destroying the earth is in these passages just before it. But I can't read it and not make more comments. So we'll start in verse 32. Life obeys God. Faith, obedience to God is life. Death is disobedience to God. Look at verse 32. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Can I get a witness? Blessed are they that keep the ways of God versus embracing and believing all the ways of man. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. And do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Watch this. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose life.